I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Here we go. Let's get these questions from the DMs.
Yep.
All right, well, that's what I heard. So, what do you want to tell you? Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to That's What I Heard. My name is Little Frex. It is a solo episode today. I'm in the studio with Mike Coscarelli, a.k.a. Producer Mike. Big news of the day. New York has fallen. I repeat, New York has fallen. Take cover.
It's fallen?
It's fallen.
What the hell do you mean?
Congestion pricing.
Oh, yes.
Has been slaughtered.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I woke up this morning to a new Apple review on our podcast. Mm. And thank you, by the way, to this reviewer. But it was not a review of our show. It was actually a review of our city.
Oh, yeah?
5 stars, baby, is the title. I was in New York and New Jersey over the weekend, my first time at 49 years old, and I just want to say, no thanks. That place is a jungle of mean people. I was unimpressed each day, and it made me love my home of Michigan even more than usual. First of all, thank you for the review, and I can't even disagree with you. Let's talk big news of the week. For years now, mm-hmm. There's been this big buildup to introducing what was called congestion pricing, which was going to be a first in the nation. No other city has this. So it's going to be essentially a pilot program.
Yes.
Which would install these sensors and cameras at various points in the city. And it would charge anybody to enter certain areas of the city a fee. If you entered in a car, motorcycle, or truck. So if you wanted to go anywhere below 60th Street, which for people who are not from New York, that's the lower half of the city.
So most of the city.
Most of the city. Yeah. Anywhere you,
most of Manhattan.
Let's be honest. It's anywhere you'd want to be. Okay?
Yeah. Yes.
They would charge cars $15. They would charge trucks between like $20 to $35, I think. Motorcycles like $7. Everyone's Uber was going to go up. The taxis was going to go up. If you were coming from over a bridge or a tunnel, you'd pay the enormous, usually $20 toll on the tunnel, and then you'd pay again for the congestion pricing. They said maybe you'll get like $5 off. If you came through a tunnel, maybe you get $5 off of the congestion price. Either way, the city was really united in saying, you better fucking not go through with this. But yes. Everyone insisted. We are going through with this. Governor Kathy Hochul, Kathy, my friend from the Buffalo Bills sports bar, the Bravest in Murray Hill, Manhattan, who I served a Miller Lite. No, what was it? A Labatt Blue.
Yep.
I served her and her husband and her drunk sister, Labatt Blues.
Her drunk fun sister.
Her fun sister, who, to be honest, gets Sheila in the governor's office. Okay? A little fucking personality in that office. Anyway, this has been going on for years. We've been ramping up for this. Last night, Hochul comes out and announces we will not be having congestion pricing. It was set to take place June 30th, so we're a couple of weeks out. And she says, hey, guys, it's just not the right time. It's going to have too many implications on hardworking New Yorkers. It's like, yeah, bitch, that's what we've been saying.
It's only been 3 years or so.
They passed this in 2019. It's been 5 fucking years.
5 years, Jesus.
Like, yeah, bitch, we've been mad about the idea.
Right. Well, you know what's happening in just a few months, Frex.
You tell me, but then I'll do my conspiracy theories.
Okay. Well,
but you say yours.
An election.
Basically, the reason stated for wanting to do the congestion pricing is environmental. Cut down on the smog, yep. The car emissions, clean up the air in the city, obviously reduce congestion, as the name would suggest, make us more. And then really the whole thing was it was going to bring in, let's see, where's my thing? I believe it was supposed to bring in about $15 billion, which was going to fund the MTA. The subway system. So they were going to use this congestion pricing money that was placed on people who drive and use it to rebuild this sewer system of subways that we have.
I don't believe it for a second.
Right. I have a few theories. So basically everybody was so mad, and the people that were most mad were longtime New Yorkers who... What people don't understand is, like, when you come here from another place and you're young and you're living the barista lifestyle, yeah, you don't have a car. This doesn't matter to you. You think city bike is cute. Mm. But people who grew up in Queens, people who grew up in Brooklyn, people who grew up in Staten Island, people who grew up in the Bronx, these are car people. These are working class car people.
Yep.
Okay?
Yeah.
Then we have the next level of that, which is the suburban car people. And, you know, New York City has a huge outer metropolitan area, Westchester, New Jersey, Connecticut even. All these people drive into the city and earn. They're like high earners.
Yeah.
So they're bringing a lot of revenue into the city. And those people happen to be in several key swing districts, which went red last time and lost us the House of Representatives.
Mm.
And 60% of New York State as a whole opposes congestion pricing, but over 70% of these swing districts opposed it. So basically the word came down, we got to cut this or we're going to lose. People are going to be bloodthirsty. We got to cut this. So people are saying this is a completely political move. Now, the other side of it is these environmental activists say this is a long-term plan intended to clean up this city to make it sustainable so we all don't choke to death on our breaths, on our own breaths. We're being strangled by our own breaths.
Yeah, yeah.
And there is merit to that.
Sure.
And then there's a thing called transit activists.
Yeah.
Now, you think I'm going to say trans activists, which I support.
Mm-hmm.
But then I hear transit activists. I'm not sure I support that.
Mm-hmm.
They want us to be a nation of bikes, Mike.
Yeah. Now, you know I'm a biker.
And you know I think that's gay.
With your gay ass. Update, I also did get into a bike accident 2 days ago.
Case in point.
Yeah, my knee's not feeling
great.
Get
off the bikes, guys. What are we doing? Now, what were you going to say?
Nothing. I like riding a bike personally, but I do think that the more bike riders there are, the worse it is for people who ride bikes.
Yeah,
that's literally why I got into the accident, because some dickhead who doesn't ride bikes all the time just like completely pulled up next to me, got too close, swerved into me. And then I'm on my back on the Williamsburg Bridge.
New York City is not a bike culture. Okay. No. Unless it's a BMX in a skate park and I'm wet. I mean, I don't want to hear about these bikes. Bikes should be like abortion. Safe, legal, and rare. Rare.
Mm-hmm.
Rare. Okay? That should be the slogan. Bikes. Safe, legal, and rare. That's just what I mean. And I'm not talking about recreational biking. Like, you want to go on a biking thing for fitness. You want to drive out to the Rockaways. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Take some shrooms. Commune with God. I love that.
Not to get around.
But as a mode of transit, it's gotten out of control. I got so angry there, I lost my thought. And you're, put the phone down. He's about to start swiping. Put it down. Not today. Okay? Give me 32 minutes.
I'm listening to you. What are you talking about? I just told you a story about how some asshole swerved into me.
I know. I didn't show you an ounce of sympathy. I said you deserved it. The real thing here is, okay, so the transit activists are angry, who I don't support. The environmental activists are angry, which I do support to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, it's you do want long-term solutions. But the fact is anyone in the mood to make a long-term solution right now? For what? To better the city that won't be here in 40 years?
You got to wonder.
Don't bother me today. We're not going to be here long.
Yeah.
Don't bother me with this congestion pricing.
The other thing too is, I mean, I have a feeling a lot of the people that this could affect long term, a cleaner city might raise those rents even more, you know?
I have a lot of real estate conspiracies I want to get into in a minute.
Okay.
I'm going to go off the rails today. Let me tell you something. This is an Aaron Brockovich episode. I'll tell you right now. Okay. So they're saying transit activists and environment. That's what they're saying the congestion pricing is for. Uh-huh. But we know that this is about the MTA. Forever in debt MTA. The MTA runs the system of buses and really the subways in New York City.
Uh-huh.
It is crumbling. They're always in debt. They're always having to raise the prices. It's never going well. And they're always trying to, quote, find money for the MTA, as if this is a couch cushion. Oh, I'm sorry. You're gonna charge the entire city of New York money for driving so you could, quote, find a couple billy for the MTA?
Yeah.
Like they're flipping couch cushions constantly.
Yeah.
And then the opponents are going, where are we going to find this money? The governor has no plan to find this money that we were supposed to get. Someone said, delaying congestion pricing is a slap in the face to the millions of New Yorkers who rely on public transportation every day just to appease the program's loudest foes. Elizabeth Adams, Deputy Executive Director for Public Affairs of Transportation Alternatives, a group that advocates for public transit. Let me stop there. That's a lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to look up her salary.
It's probably a lot.
You have the computer.
Oh, you're asking me to look up. Okay, got it.
You go, it's probably a lot. Find out.
Why didn't you tell me directly? What's her name?
Elizabeth Adams, Transportation Alternatives is the name of the group. I mean, I don't know how it works in other cities, so I don't know how crazy it is. But the fact that actually a private company runs our transit system is kind of bananas. And they make, like, the executives make, you know, $300,000-$400,000 a year.
Listed. Do you want to take a guess?
At her what?
At her compensation.
$300,000?
No. All right. So listed, it's $132,217.
Okay.
But then there's a column for other, which is $22,000.
Which is investments. And yeah. she'll go sit on the board of J.P. Morgan when all this is done.
Sure.
So, and she'll advise them on where they should invest in transit.
Yeah. So like $150,000.
So she needs to take several seats. Okay. This is what I hear the kids say. I think you need to take several seats, Miss Elizabeth Adams. Anyway, she goes on to say, congestion pricing is a $15 billion lifeline for the MTA, critical funding that will be lost if the program is stalled. She continued, the next time your train is late, your bus is trapped in traffic, your subway station is still missing an elevator, you know who to blame. Governor Kathy Hochul. Catherine. End quote from Elizabeth. Guys, You've come up with a million and one fucking schemes to, quote, find the money for the MTA. It has never gotten better. It has. You started building the Second Avenue subline in the 70s.
Yep.
Baby, it still don't go to Harlem. Okay? In the 70s. We could give you all the... Elon Musk could come in here and say, I will personally grant the MTA a private loan, a private grant, free money to fix, do whatever these repairs they say need to be done are. It would not still not get better. It would go to the salaries and the rat czar.
Yeah.
Remember when they hired the rat czar? Yep. Which was kind of fucking fire, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's kind of a fire job.
Uh-huh.
The person in New York to get rid of the rat problem, which actually I ain't seen one in a minute. Now that I'm thinking of it, that person did a good job. Yeah, they've done this a million, they've done this, these funding deals a million different ways. The subway has never gotten better. It is an old, old system. And we're like, well, in Japan, it's perfect. In Japan, they just built it.
Right.
In London, they just built that shit. Actually, when, I don't know, maybe they didn't build it. Everyone's like, it's so clean and it comes on time. Guess what? That's not who we are. That's not our character. It's never going to be clean. It's never going to come on time. It's always going to be hell. It's always going to be raining. Someone's always going to be smoking a cigarette out of their dick.
It's always going to be somebody riding the train.
That's the character of the city. It's no, it's not. $15 billion is not going to fix what is wrong with us. We are a pickled people. Our brains are pickled. You can give us the nicest subway station in the world, baby. We're shitting on it. That's why our Apple reviewer has a point. Michigan is sounding nice right about now. End it.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Now, while Kathy Hochul did this little turnaround. Hold on. I had something important I needed to say. Stay with me. It's okay. It's going to be okay. You can trust me. You're safe with me. It might take a minute, but you're safe with me. Complete confidence throughout. That's what I used to say when I would get up and I would rap. And if I would like mess up the words in my head, I just go, complete confidence throughout. People need to know they're safe with you.
It's true.
That's the only key to performing there is.
Yeah. You meant to do that.
Yeah. Or it's like, yeah, maybe something went wrong, but it doesn't affect me.
Yeah.
You're safe with me. Now here's what I was going to say. While this program is now on hold indefinitely, guess what? The city gave a, how much? $500 million contract to a Nashville company called TransCore to install this network of cameras, which were going to enforce congestion pricing. The last of which of those cameras was already installed last week.
Oh, really?
So we already paid them over, and then we had to pay for an extension or something. So I think it was like $550 million. We're broke. We don't have the money. Where are we going to find the money? Oh, $550 million for cameras that we already put in. They're already there. Yeah. And now we won't be using them.
Yeah.
But now I'm going conspiracy. Okay. Now I'm going down a rabbit hole. So I got curious. I went Aaron Brockovich. I said, well, who is this TransCore company? So I look it up. TransCore is actually owned by a global company that is run out of Singapore called ST Engineering. And you know what that means? It actually means nothing. That's where my investigation ended. I couldn't really find anything salacious after that. I just wanted you to know that a Singaporean company has installed $500 million worth of sensors and cameras in New York City, which we've paid for, and now will not be using to charge people $15 to fund, quote unquote, the MTA. Guess what the cameras do? Now I'm going full Alex Jones.
Tell me.
We are now, New York City is now rigged and wired. This is from their website about what the technology is. It's overhead digital technology that provides license plate recognition and image-based vehicle detection and classification without the need for in-ground sensors. Hardware is specifically engineered to hide in plain sight and leverage the existing infrastructure to blend into the landscape. So this, it's configurable to support diverse business values, which means now we're not using it for what we said we were going to use it for, but it's configurable. Now we can use it for anything.
Right.
Surveillance, any type of surveillance we want. So I guess who's going to get their hands on these?
The NYPD. Duh. Could you see what's happening here? Is it that hard to put the pieces together?
Operation software provides end-to-end ability to audit and manage data analytics for vehicle detection, transactions, and trip formation. Which means, gotcha, bitch.
Yeah.
We got you.
Yeah.
So now we're rigged to do that.
Yeah.
And we won't be doing it for what we thought we were going to be doing it for, but someone's going to use it for something.
Of course. Yeah.
And if you want to get really into like the kind of commentary about what some people believe the end game for these tech companies and these big businesses is, that they want to push society towards an end of ownership, an end of private ownership. So like, we don't own cars anymore. Like they're envisioning our future being, we don't own cars, we don't own our homes,
right?
But it's very nice. There's a article, I will fail you on this.
Should I look that up?
I don't know.
Okay.
I heard Tim Dillon talk about it. It's called the end of ownership. Basically, like, you won't own anything and you will be happy is the thesis of it, I guess. So if you think about this congestion thing, what would that mean for our, if this congestion pricing had gone through, what would that mean in 10 years for our city? People would slowly give up ownership of their cars. They would say, it's just not worth it anymore. So within 10 to 15 years, we would be a city where people don't own cars, and then they rely on Uber, mm-hmm, or they rely on these big tech companies. It just seems likely that there's a lot at play here business wise. Do you agree?
I don't know that I think that it's a conspiracy necessarily. I think that
not a conspiracy. It's just the bigger picture, because like what we're being told is it's about smog.
Yeah.
And if you zoom out, it's not that it's a conspiracy. It's right in plain sight. It's like about the bigger picture of a vision of what people want us to move towards.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I think we're kind of there already anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it's for real estate, at least, for sure. I don't know that many people that own things our age.
Because you know, only know broke bitches.
Maybe. But doesn't it feel like everybody's kind of a broke bitch right now that's in our age bracket?
Yeah.
I know very few people. I have one friend that I can think of that owns a house.
No, I know rich people.
Okay, well then. Whoa.
It's the company I keep, okay, baby?
You know the rich.
I can't eat them because they're my friends. Now, all of this, you know, last minute pullback from an insane plan that was going to drastically affect the city. And even though the plan is not going through, as I've just been saying, it is still going to drastically affect the city because the city is now rigged, locked, and loaded with this new system of
surveillance.
Yeah. That's what it is, you know? But this all reminds me of one of my favorite New York periods, the L-pocalypse. If you remember, in 2016, they announced that the entire L train would shut down for 15 to 18 months.
Yeah.
And we were 3 years out when they made this announcement.
Yeah.
Okay. They said there, and then they said it's a guarantee because the tunnels were damaged during Hurricane Sandy in 2012. And the only way to repair this L train tunnel was to completely shut down service and do whatever the fuck they were going to do. It was a given. People were furious. People said, this is going to cripple the city. This is going to cripple the outer boroughs. This is going to cripple people's ability to get into Manhattan and around Brooklyn. I think like papers like the New York Post was calling it like the year that Williamsburg dies.
Mm.
And wouldn't that have been nice?
Yeah.
But guess what? Down from Albany comes another angel. This time not Kathy Hochul, but the man who she killed, Governor Andrew Cuomo.
Mm-hmm.
And a few weeks, maybe even days. Let me see. Did I have that written down? Whatever. A few, right before this L train, this years in the making L train shutdown was to go into effect, Andrew Cuomo comes down and does a late night tour of the tunnels. I don't know if you remember that video footage. He's wearing the Carhartt jacket.
Yes.
He's in the tunnels with the boys. They're looking with the flashlights. They're like knocking on the tunnel. You know, like what kind of wood is that? You know, like in the man thing. And he comes out.
What kind of wood is that?
Like, is that oak? Like they're doing
that.
Wire over here.
Yeah. Get the cutters.
Yeah, you see this wire? So he's doing that whole shtick in the middle of the night. And then he comes out and he gives a press conference that nobody was expecting, saying, actually, we don't need to shut down the L train. I've actually found a different way. And so the L train shutdown will not be happening. And now people say that, I mean, Andrew Cuomo was such a bulldog douche that, and he hated Bill de Blasio, mayor of New York, so much that this was really just to like
fuck him over
and make him look like an idiot.
Yeah.
It's like that Dumb and Dumber thing where like, remember with the gloves and he's like, oh, I have a second pair of gloves. And he turns to me and goes, the whole time.
Yeah.
The whole time. It's like, oh, you knew a different way to do this the whole time.
Yeah.
And the night before, you're down in the tunnels with the boys and the flashlights.
Yeah.
And now you know this like other way where we don't have to shut down the L train.
Yeah.
Famously, and I'm not Nostradamus, I did predict that they would not go through with that shutdown. There was just no way that it was so drastic and so disruptive to the city. I just couldn't see it happening.
Yeah.
Way, it would have been like way more disruptive than the congestion pricing thing. Anyways. But what I was interested in, what I thought immediately when this happened, I was like, this is a real estate play.
The L train thing?
Because what happened in those 3 years? Like, neighborhoods off the L train, Williamsburg, Bushwick, the whole L, like, all those neighborhoods were, like, absolutely in boom, like, at the top of their boom, right?
Still.
And real estate developers were like, we need to get a little action off the M train over here. We need to get a little more action off the G train. Like, we need to get a little more action in downtown Brooklyn. We need, like, a little Barclays pop. We need, you know, what about fucking Cobble Hill? Gonna pop?
Yeah.
And so people, literally, when this was announced in 2016, started moving. Some Hoboken popped during this time. Big time. Hoboken, Jersey City, big time popped.
Jersey City was also fresh off of a
people
lot of
people were like, okay, well, I'm not
going
to live off a broken train.
Yeah.
So I'm moving. And then real estate, like the map of real estate completely changed in these areas.
Yeah.
And you know how big like the real estate influence is in New York politics? You don't think this had anything to do with that?
I think it has 100% to do with it.
Good. Then we agree. It's not a conspiracy. It's just a fact.
Yeah. And I think the other big thing was that I think Cuomo fucking really hated de Blasio.
Really like hated de Blasio.
The famous feud.
Famously thought he was a cuck to the core.
Right. So I think it's both of those things. But yeah, I think 100%. I don't even think he can really prove that it wasn't
a real estate thing or a feud.
What else? No, the feud for sure. But like, I mean, what else could it even have been if it wasn't the real estate thing?
Right.
It's the only thing that really makes sense.
It's like you probably knew there was another way the whole time, but you wanted to let this story play out so we could get this money popping in other areas.
Yeah.
Little J train. Build it up, bitch.
Yeah.
He's a real Robert Moses, this fucking Cuomo. But that psychopath, that racist psychopath, Robert Moses.
Yeah. Bad guy.
Bad guy.
It's the reason the Dodgers are in L.A.
I wish Sheila, the governor's sister, was in charge.
Do you think it would be, things would look different with her in charge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there'd be a lot more shots of Jameson. The good times would be a rollin'.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my two cents on the congestion pricing meltdown. I'm sure more will be revealed, but the most logical explanation of why she just canceled it is because they're worried about losing those swing states.
Yes.
I mean, not swing states, swing districts yeah. in the suburbs.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard.
Today is D-Day. Happy D-Day.
Happy D-Day.
Not much to say on that. Just wanted to point it out, you know, for all those we've lost.
Deserves recognition.
I was reading an article this morning about how when D-Day happened,
two more weeks.
When the announcement came out, like, there's hundreds of thousands of people landing on the beaches of Normandy. Hmm. Hitler was asleep.
Yes. Okay?
And everyone that worked for him was too scared to wake him up and tell him it's code red.
Yeah.
Code red. The boys are here.
It's on and popping, Jack.
On and popping. And because Hitler was such a control freak, he was the one person that could activate these groups of like these certain units like of the military to go to the beaches and fight.
Yeah.
And like stop this invasion. But he was asleep and his boys were too pussy to wake him up. And thank God for that.
Thank God.
Thank God those pussies.
Talk about a different world.
So imagine
yeah.
those boys had some balls.
Yeah.
We could be speaking Deutschland right now.
We sure
what
could.
What is Deutschland? I just said Deutschland, but I don't think that's...
Has German. But that, Deutschland is Germany.
Y'all. Thank God those boys were pussies. I went to a... This is how far I will go for our audience, for the herd. A member of the herd invited me to do a career day at the school. Why are you laughing?
I think you talked about this 2 weeks in a row.
No, I cut it out.
Okay.
Because I was at the end before.
Okay.
And I go, we didn't even say anything about it. I just go, I went to the career day. And then I go, let's just cut it in the episode.
Okay.
But I wanted to make sure that I said, you know.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jimmy. So I go to this. I mean, I'm not going to say he harassed me, but he did call into the telethon to really
yeah.
put my back against the wall, put me on the ropes, and get that yes. Side note, I wish I had that kind of tenacity to really go for that yes. Someone says no once, I go, okay, I'll kill myself, no problem. I'm a piece of shit, I do that. No, I know I'm a piece of shit. But Jimmy, real confidence, and I like that. So I went to the career day at the high school. But that is how far I will go for the herd. If you have an event you want me to show up at, if you're a town fair, you're guessing the weight of a big pumpkin, I'll come through. I'll make an appearance. My rates are reasonable.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Oh, you got rates?
Yeah, what would my rate be to show up at an event?
What do you have, like a rate card of things you do at the event?
A rate card? What is that?
A rate card is like, so like I have one for the studio where it's like if you want to come in and record, you get, that's one price. Then if you want to record and then I edit it, that's another price. Okay. And it's like add-ons. So it's like showing up is one price.
Okay.
But then it's like,
I got you.
You know.
So I guess if you want me to come to your event, the base price is $300.
Okay. Not bad.
And the add-on would be if you want a blowjob. That's going to be $350.
No, we're not doing blowjobs. Come on.
If you want a picture, that's going to be $325.
That's a little better.
Okay. If you want me to call your friend and leave a voicemail, $400.
Okay.
This is all while I'm at the event.
Yep.
If you want to sexually harass me, I'll give you a discount, $200.
What would it take you?
Yeah.
Is there a world where you come out of rap retirement?
There's such a world.
Yeah.
There's such a world. You know, the world I really see for it is like once I have a little bit more money, I make another EP and I release it all through TikTok videos that I'm not in.
Okay. Who's in the videos?
I don't know. We're not pretending that it's someone. I don't know who's in the videos. Maybe it's not someone, because in my day, back in my day, kids, okay, the videos were you just stand and rap to the camera. I mean, that's why my hands still do this. Oh, like, yeah. When I'm podcasting, when I'm talking, it's like, it's all this. You just rap into the camera, blah, blah, blah. Okay. It's not what people do anymore.
Is it not?
I don't think so. No? People don't make music. It's not like, it's just not the culture anymore. It's not music videos. It's all like, make a minute and a half song or a 2 minute song. Take the best 30 seconds, make a TikTok and make a reel and get it trending that way. And then get people, get followers there and then do brand deals. But in the TikTok videos that I would make of my music, I don't think it would be me rapping. Maybe I would do something more creative, like make it look like a movie or something.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's rapping to the camera.
You never walk past anybody anymore. You see somebody like with a phone out doing the fingers. I see it all the time. I feel like.
I mean, I do it every. Yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't know. Do it again, Mike. Yeah, you look like you work at Coyote. Ugly baby.
And then people also do this. BBL, they do this Mikey. Thing. They do this.
Well, oh. Yeah. We're so embarrassing.
Yeah, we're old.
We're so old. No, I guess people do it, but it's not the name of the game. It's not like I want to make a 5 minute music video and
right.
Get it on Pitchfork, get it on Fader. This is what it was on MTV. Gotta get it on Fader. Yeah, and we gotta get a million views on YouTube. It's more just like snippets. Everything is a snippet culture, baby. So yes, there is a big world where I come out of retirement because it is something that I love. I probably go out to Cali. I call my boy Kyle. Kyle raps. I say, you got a couple songs left in you, brother. And I would have him produce the songs. We go out there. I'd come back with 3 songs. And we'd call it, I don't know what we'd call it.
What about live?
Would I rap live?
Yeah.
Yeah, if I was paid for it, of course I would.
Okay.
But who would be doing that at this point?
I'm just asking. I'm like,
at a bat mitzvah? Here's the rate card.
Uh-huh.
If you want me to rap at your bat mitzvah, or your sweet 16, or your 65th birthday party, or your retirement party, or your bachelorette party, contact me.
Okay.
My rates are reasonable.
Rates upon request.
I mean, the big shows would always be like, not the big shows, but you know, like those type of gigs would always be like $2,500.
That's great.
Yeah, it's great. And then the other option would be $0. You're in Bushwick. Mm-hmm. $0. Not even like a drink ticket. It's like, this will cost me money.
What if we did like a Slickback Studios live thing?
Oh, so you have ulterior motives? Then get to the real question, Mike. We're doing this whole ring around the rosy. We're doing a ring around the rosy. What's the real question?
I'm pitching you scenarios.
Okay. So we do a Slickback Studios live thing, meaning?
Everybody does like a talent show. Everybody does everybody does something. People do stand-up. People do something other than stand-up.
Improv? Sebastian does improv?
Yeah, yeah.
Me and Sebastian play Zip Zab Zop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would do that. Do you support Caitlin Clark? She's getting trashed in the WNBA. Girls are pushing her. A lot of think pieces saying she sucks and everybody only likes her because she's white. And then Pat McAfee. I'm sorry, that was funny.
Call her because, a white bitch.
Well, but the way he did it is like this was the segment. The segment was he made a PowerPoint saying, in defense of Caitlin Clark, saying like what she's doing for the sport, all the money she's bringing in.
Yeah.
And then he goes, these girls, other girls don't like her because they're like, this white bitch from Indiana. Stop the tape. Yeah. The internet goes crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, he shouldn't have said it, but I could say it.
Of course I support her. I mean, I think that I understand that there is that there's probably truth to the fact that she's white. But I mean, this is like what happened with Larry Bird.
Well, people are calling her, and this is a bit too far, the new Jackie Robinson.
Well, that's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Like
those two names should not be anywhere near each other.
Right, it's not the same, guys. This is not what we're doing here. Yeah. This is not what we're doing here.
But I support her. I think it's good that she's, you know, bringing attention to the WNBA. I mean, it's definitely, she's a big part of it.
I think it's good to get slapped around a little too, to be honest.
Yeah.
Toughens you up. Not that she's not tough, but what a great triumph story of like, I won their respect.
Yeah.
I won the respect of the league.
Because she's still playing well, right?
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you.
Not paying attention.
I tried to get involved the other night.
Yeah.
I placed a parlay on the New York Liberty versus the Fever game. I go, I'm going to support. I'm going to support my city. Your psychotic associate producer, Ronnie, sent me a text saying, I was just at a Liberty game. And she goes, that's the real team that runs this city. I saw the text.
I didn't know she did that.
I saw the text. It was so outrageous. I put my phone on Do Not Disturb, and I took 4 melatonins. I went to sleep. It was so outrageous what she said to me.
Yeah, yeah, that is pretty crazy.
But I'll tell you this: a couple days later, I go, I'm gonna get involved. So I go, I'm gonna watch the New York Liberty game. They're playing Caitlin Clark. I'm gonna do a parlay. Hmm. I bet the over on Caitlin Clark points and assists. And on Sabrina Ionescu, who is really good. She did the 3-point shooting contest with Steph in the All-Star game, and it was the best segment of that whole weekend.
Yep.
So I support her. Very
also
talented.
White.
Also white. Now I'm only supporting the whites. This is bad. Honestly, I like Angel Reese the best of all of them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm dead ass. I wanted LSU.
No, she's cool.
I wanted LSU and Coach. I wanted Angel Reese and Coach Kim to win that fucking college trophy.
Yeah, yeah.
That nothing would have made me happier. And Flage. And I like Juju Watkins.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. So I watched the game and I bet the over on Caitlin Clark points. She got 3. Mike.
The whole game?
She got 3.
No way.
3.
Oh, I hate to hear that.
So I lost that bet. But I'll give the same excuse.
Really?
I'll give the same excuse I would give for the men's team. They were on a back-to-back.
Uh-huh.
And I think this can't not affect you. Like being in this media, what would you call this? Firestorm of negativity right now. It can't not affect you. I would be amazed if it doesn't affect your psyche.
Well, you always know what they also say about the New York home court advantage. A lot of times on that back to back, New York gets you.
Yeah.
You go out, you do some stuff.
She ain't going out.
I don't,
honestly, she should be on the Knicks the way she ain't going out.
You think
she's going to the club?
Maybe.
To the club?
I don't know. I mean, like, I know that that's what they say about the NBA.
Oh, of course.
Dudes will get up to play at the Garden, but also it's like if they're there for more than that there's a team in Brooklyn.
It's a big problem.
Yeah. If you're there for a couple days, you know.
It's a big problem. Imagine Caitlin Clark got 3 points because she went to Pump Strip Club the night before.
Yeah.
She went to Magic City.
The Cubby Hole.
She was at the Cubby Hole. Wait, what's Magic City's not it? Sue's Round. No, what's the strip club I'm thinking of? The big one that Cardi B worked at.
Scores?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Imagine she went to Scores the night before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she goes, guys, I just got a $20 million Nike contract. We're getting a bottle. Make it Grey Goose. No chasers. Guys, she goes, guys, I'm rich. Okay. And then she shows up to that game the next day. You might as well just put up a goose egg. There was a bird flu death in Mexico. You ready for another pandemic?
No.
You know, I saw this story. I go, you know, I threw up after I ate chicken the other day. Makes you wonder.
Yeah, it makes you wonder.
Did I get it? I don't give a fuck about the bird flu.
I don't. Yeah, I don't either, really.
Bird flu, first of all, let me go straight to camera. Bird flu, I'm speaking to you.
Can you stop looking at the monitor? Yeah. If you're going to go straight to camera?
Yes, I can. Let me go straight to camera. I want to speak directly to the bird flu. You've tried this already, honey. And you couldn't get us 10 years ago. And you ain't going to get us now. Your tricks are tired. And we're not falling for it this time. With your bird flu. That's it.
Yeah. I can't imagine. Do you think another pandemic could happen? Not the bird flu, but like.
Of course. But yeah. The problem is, it's never going to be fun like it was last time.
You thought it was fun the whole time?
Not the whole time. Of course, yeah. I was terrified. I was like, I lost my job. You know, right. The bar closed the first 2 weeks. I was terrified.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, as I've said it a million times in this podcast, I got over it pretty quickly and I just embraced the culture. And you know what I decided? You know what I really loved most about that pandemic? Aside from the unemployment? Half-Life. I loved Half-Life.
Mm-hmm.
Half-Life is my kind of life.
Yeah.
It's like you're doing just enough.
Yeah.
It seems like, and that's enough.
Yeah.
And you never have to like have in your head, is there somewhere else I'm supposed to be right now? Man, should I have gone to that open mic?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't enjoy what you're doing because you're like, I guess I should have gone to the open mic. Nope. Not in Half-Life. There's no open mic. So whatever you're doing, wherever you're at, wherever your feet are, it's what you're supposed to be doing, hon. And there was something beautiful about that.
Yeah.
So while I welcome another pandemic for those reasons, I don't want it to happen as soon as I start doing well financially. The other thing is, at that time, I wasn't doing well financially.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't matter to me. Like people who really, I mean, of course, goes without saying, people who lost their businesses, horrible. And then people who went from making good money to not making good money, that also sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look at me like that.
Look at you like what?
I don't know. I think it's time to wrap this up.
All right.
All I'm saying is just cut the shit, bird flu. Don't try it. I'm not in the mood. You know what I am in the mood for? Read a comment on YouTube. And to leave us a review on Apple. Even, I don't even mind you leaving us a review shitting on our city. I welcome that. You don't even have to leave a review about our show. Leave a review about your bitch friend that you hate. Have the review be why you don't like her. What she did. I would love that review. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Mike.
Where's Frex?
I'll see you next week. You know I love your ass. Stop.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of
infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.